The deals being made on Big Brother OTT can't hold a candle to what you're seeing in the countdown to Black Friday deals on Amazon.com. Get the best prices on everything you need this holiday season with our link, robiswebsite.com/Amazon, or for our friends in Canada, it's robiswebsite.com/AmazonCA. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who's ready to fire up the OTT grill once again. I'm Rob Cisternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to our Tuesday Big Brother OTT recap. Ready to talk about the final six as we are just but 2 weeks and a day away from the finale of Big Brother OTT. So plenty to talk about here with my own Jambalaya crew. Here first with us, with a regular lower third today, not the Taryn is the best lower third from yesterday. Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
Still devastated that my team members were not able to get their lower thirds working because I feel like that would have been so good.
If only. Well, what might have been? Yeah. We'll always be left wondering how that would have worked out.
Haunt me forever.
Haunt you forever. All right. Mm. And then here with us, once again, the man with a naked lower third, Alex Kidwell. Alex, how are you?
I'm doing, Rob. Yeah, Google, YouTube. But these things hate me lately. I don't know what it is. I mean, they took it out on my team on Saturday. They're keeping me from using a lower third last week and this week. And I don't know if it's the same specters that keep you from getting verified on Twitter that are like haunting the Matrix right now, Rob, but I'm not a fan.
Yeah, it's probably the same.
We need some like internet Ghostbusters in there to clean this out.
Internet Ghostbusters. Is that a thing?
Sure.
I hear that the ghost busting on the internet, I feel like that is a very touchy subject, by the way, Alex.
Well, I didn't mean to wade into there. Yeah, so
as long as no women come along on ghost busting the internet, then there's no problems on the internet. Okay. So we've got a lot to talk about here today. Very interesting setup here in the final six and a very important vote coming up on Wednesday as we approach now the final 2 weeks of the BBOTT. So we're going to be taking your questions here live. We're going to be doing it live. No Scott St. Pierre here to help us out with the questions. So we'll be keeping an eye on them on Twitter. Hashtag RHAP, and then also in the chat room when we get to that, if you got a question that you're sitting on and you want us to see it, so post it, go ahead, and it'll be there. Hashtag RHAP. So then, of course, So You Think You Can Podcast is moving into round three, our competition to find the next member of the LFC. Taryn was live with Melissa and John yesterday. Taryn, great job.
Thank you. It was seriously a lot of fun. Those two are incredible.
Yeah. And then Alex was live with Kidwell's Corner on Saturday and also another fun show.
Yeah. Puya, Adam, and Aman. I thought they all did a really good job. We had a lot of fun.
Yeah. And now, unfortunately, it's time to lose a few more members of potential live feed correspondents. The way that this was going to work, that we said, was that one person was going to graduate from Team Brent, Team Alex, and Team Taryn to ultimately then move on to round three, where they will appear together for the first time on an episode of Big Brother Happy Hour, Reality TV Happy Hour, with Jordan Parhar. As they move along, and then you guys will have another opportunity to vote after that show. And then the two people that move on will each appear with me on an episode of Rob Has a Podcast coming up during the final week or so of the Big Brother OTT. And again, it is with great sadness that we have to lose a couple people, but also graduate a couple people. Alex, are you ready?
No, you're taking two of my three people. Yeah, I just want to sign off and go to bed right now.
It was a double elimination week for Team Alex. Team Taryn only went yesterday, so we're going to give them the full 48 hours to vote on that. So if you want to still vote on Team Taryn, you could still do that on the show page for that show yesterday. But Alex, unfortunately, we have to lose two people. So one person is graduating from Team Alex. And are you prepared for this?
I mean, you're going to do it whether I am or not, Rob.
That's right. That's right. Okay. So I'm very happy to tell you of the group that of Adam and Aman and Puya, that we were going to be graduating one of these outstanding podcasters to the next level. And that is going to be Adam moving on. And I'm very sorry to say that Puya and Amon are not going to be moving on. And so you think you can podcast. But again, I just want to say that just because somebody does not become the next member of the Live Feed Correspondents does not mean that we do not have a home for them in terms of podcasting with us. And we found so many great people that I can't wait to be able to continue talking with all these great people as we go along. But this is not easy.
Not easy at all.
It's not easy. It's not easy. Also, Team Brent, we have to lose a member tonight as well. Dustin and Liana, where they competed again and they were on, I think, was it almost a week ago, last Thursday, when they were on the first team to go during So You Think You Can Podcast round number two. And I'm happy to say that Liana will be moving on. And I'm very sad to say that Dustin will not. But again, another great podcaster. And I'm sure that we can find something to podcast about with Dustin along the way as well. So we're losing three great people. Adam is moving on. Liana is moving on. And then one person from Team Taryn, either John or Melissa, will be moving on to be on Big Brother Reality TV for Happy Hour with Jordan Parhar coming up.
Exciting.
Stop. This exciting. Is not it. Look, this yeah. is not fun. This is not fun. Okay.
No. Now I see why people hate Simon Cowell and people like that. So much.
Well, Ryan Seacrest is the guy.
It's not fun having to read their names off, but I mean, I feel really bad for the executioner that has to end their lives. That's just the worst part of it.
Yes. This is the part that's not fun, but I have heard from people that they really enjoyed the competition. So I'm glad that you guys have enjoyed getting to meet these new faces. And definitely there's lots of podcast. We're talking about Big Brother so many times a year that, I mean, really, it's a 365 day a year sport. So much Big Brother to talk about. And, you know, I'm hoping to continue all these conversations that we're starting during this time. All right. But let's get back into BBOTT and then keep your eyes peeled for I believe the Jordan Parhar is going to be in that regular Big Brother Happy Hour spot on Sunday night. Is that how this is going down?
That's what I was told.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I think that we should.
Nobody tells me nothing.
All right. Well, I was talking with Jordan last night, and you know, I want to make sure that we still get a chance to hear from you guys over the weekend. So if there's enough going on, I feel like we can be able to hear from you guys as well over the weekend. So let's talk about what's going on now. The pressing matters at hand, and now we have our final six, and let's pick things up with getting into the veto competition. Over the coming out of the weekend, we had Morgan go up on the block as the third nominee from America. Let's just touch on that. So, Alex, I don't think we've heard your thoughts on this yet. So, Morgan going up on as the third nominee, how surprised were you by that?
I guess not horribly surprised. I've learned not to be surprised this season because what this season has really taught me more than anything else. And, you know, I saw it on Reddit first, so I can't take credit for it. But the vast majority of the Big Brother fan base does not think the way I do. I've learned this.
Really?
I didn't necessarily know this. I thought maybe.
You think so, Doctor? Yeah.
I'd always suspected, but I never had confirmed proof until now.
Yeah.
So here we are.
All right. Well, explain. Drill down. What do you mean by that?
Well, I can't understand the logic behind, I don't care how much you like an individual, I can't understand the logic behind wanting to give Chrissy the easiest road to the finale in Big Brother history. I mean, it's not like this is someone who is super likable or super endearing or is working super hard or is doing, I mean, she's literally doing everything we claim we hate in a house guest, trying to quit, not trying in comps, you know, being not separating game and personal, like just, you know, being a terrible sport about everything, being, you know, obnoxious and being self-absorbed. And yet, you know, this is someone we're going to protect over someone that's trying, that's working, that's forming alliances, that's winning competitions. And I get the logic behind it. It's not Chrissy. It's the people Chrissy's associated with, but you can't get me to get down with it.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense to me. I mean, it's just more of not necessarily a pro-Chrissy vote, but just that is the right, you know, that's my team. It's like the Seinfeld joke of, you know, we're just rooting for the laundry here. And if you're a fan of Late Night Jamboree, you know, she is still a part of that. And I think that her interests are more aligned with whether you're a fan of Jason or Danielle or Justin. I mean, she has attachments to all three. And so I think that probably everybody from those three fan bases were probably all on pile the votes on Morgan as opposed to anybody. I know that last night John was talking about with you, Taryn, the silent Chrissy vote. I don't know if that's actually out there, but I think it was a lot more of the other fan bases being more anti-Morgan.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's basically Danielle and Jason. They have the majority of the fan base on their side, and their interests aligned in this case to put up Morgan over Chrissy. It was not in their best interest to have Chrissy on the block. And it wasn't, you're absolutely right. It wasn't about Chrissy. It was about Danielle and Jason. And I think it's completely understandable. You know, like, people watch for their own reasons. They have their own fan bases that's just the way that it goes.
And going back to when Morgan got the veto the past week during the double eviction, I think that really was probably more of a factor. If we take a look at this, was that the Justin fans were voting for Justin, the Danielle fans were voting for Danielle. And, you know, there was some combination of where, you know, maybe Shelby fans might have been voting Shelby or more, but the Alex and Morgan fans were together, united for Morgan. And it just turned out to, you know, everybody owns a percentage of that pie, maybe except for Chrissy. And then what, you know, it just so happened that Morgan's share of the pie that night added up to more than the other people that were left. But in this case, Morgan was, her slice of the pie was not as big as the Justin plus Jason plus Danielle portion of the electorate, which was voting against her.
I do think it was a very close vote, because I think that Justin's part of the pie was not with Jason and Chrissy's part of the pie, because for Justin, it was better to have Chrissy go up on the block. And so whatever vestige of Justin fans were left, I think they went with the plastic fans and the Morgan fans in trying to put up Chrissy, but it still wasn't enough to overcome the overwhelming Danielle and Jason fans.
If you guys expect me to stay in this conversation, I need you to not say pie so many times. It's very distracting.
Yes. Why? What do you want? Pumpkin pie?
I'm just a fan of pie in general, Rob. And the more you say it, the more it makes me want to leave and go get some.
You know who else is a fan of pie?
Shelby.
Why not?
All right.
Why not indeed?
All right. So Morgan becomes the third nominee this week. She goes up on the block. Things are looking somewhat dire because pre-veto, Taryn, how is this playing out now where the two people who have votes this week now are what? Now it's going to be Justin and Chrissy.
Yeah, Justin and Chrissy will have votes. You're talking pre-veto?
It was pre-veto, just pre-veto, heading into the veto competition.
Pre-veto is just Justin and Chrissy, and they were planning on taking out Danielle, even if Morgan did not come down.
Is that official? I mean, that I feel like in watching Chrissy in her, in her diary room, conversations, she's saying that she still was going to, this was all just a ruse. She still was with Late Night Jamboree all the way, but she was changed her mind.
Well, basically it was sort of like a tentative thing, because even Jason was on board with this. He was saying things like, you know, if Danielle stays up on the block, we will get her out, but I'm hoping that she wins the veto, stuff like that. Where he didn't really want to do it. And if it came down to it, maybe Jason would have been able to put a stop to it. But, you know, either way, if that had, you know, stuck the way that it did, Justin would have been voting Danielle. I mean, Justin was gung-ho about getting Danielle out.
Okay. All right. So then we have our veto competition, and it is going to be a battle of dominoes, Alex. And you want to talk us through some of the highlights?
Yeah, so this was kind of an interesting competition. And of course, the dominoes were looking really heavy. Like, Big Brother always knows what to do in competitions just to make them a little extra frustrating and irritating. Like, just having to lug the things around in and of itself is kind of a pain. And then you've got to stack them up and line them in an elaborate way where they pass through kind of, three sets of arches where each one was a trivia question based on the season. So you had to pick one of two kind of pathways within the arch and navigate your path through, you know, basically three sets of options and from start line to finish line. The questions were, which former house guest was with you the longest, Paul or Jeff, when they came to visit this season? Which competition were there more shots in, the one Paul hosted or the one Jeff hosted? And Taryn, what was the last question?
The veto vault versus the balance beam. Which one took longer?
Right. Which competition took longer between those two?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, it went through and, you know, Jason seemingly set a pretty good time, but we learned he got an answer or two wrong. Chrissy kind of struggled with it. Shelby set a really strong time. I mean, again, Shelby shows that, you know, when with these kind of mental competitions, with competitions that involve thinking things through and, you know, really with this domino competition, more than just the trivia questions, it was about kind of seeing the bigger picture, planning a path out with your dominoes that creates like the easiest path from start to finish. And
it wasn't
really
just because she's shallow.
Well, I mean, you know, who knows? Maybe that's a factor. But when it got to Danielle's turn, I mean, she certainly wasn't seeing the bigger picture. I mean, at one point she tried to make a like one of these like elaborate domino things where like one knocks over two and creates like a chain reaction. And that was not the way to go. Big Brother had to, you know, tell her to stop with that wasn't going to work. And ultimately they had to like help her out once it became clear she wasn't going to win, that she was well over Shelby's time. So long story short, Shelby wins the veto and once again looks like a clear beast among a relatively, weak group of house guests competition-wise this season.
It should be noted that Shelby was the only house guest to get all the questions correct in the optimal path. Danielle ultimately got there, but only after like 20 minutes of struggling. And then she failed to knock all the dominoes down three times. So Shelby was really the only person who did it correctly. If anybody else had done it correctly, they would have beaten her because she really struggled carrying those dominoes.
Yeah. Taryn, did you think they should have let Danielle do her fancy Y shape?
Probably. Because it would have been, you know, just let her try it and then have her. But like, I guess, you know, they didn't want to be out there all day. And this is something that's important because we hear this all the time where house guests after the fact, after their competition, they're talking about like, oh, yeah, well, they told me what to do. And people are like, oh, rigged. They gave them hints during the competition. Oh, rigged. No, this is what happens. Danielle had already lost and they were like, all right. Stop. This isn't going to work, Danielle. Just do it the right way. We'll get your footage for the episode, but you've already lost.
This time, Taryn. This time.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So this is not looking so good for Jason and Danielle, because now we're going to have Shelby obviously uses the veto on Morgan, right, Alex?
Obviously.
Okay.
Air flip.
Yes. And for the first time this season, America's nominee has come down, giving us only two people on the block. So, Taryn, this is exciting, right?
Yeah, I mean, America's power has been neutralized for the first time all season. It's like the most exciting thing to happen all season.
And this was the final America's nominee. So we will just have two people on the block now the rest of the way, correct?
Yep.
Okay, so we started that a little bit earlier than we anticipated. And now with just, but what, now how many votes to evict now? Three votes to evict?
Yes, there will be three and America's vote.
Okay, and America's vote. So what are we looking at here? So we're going to have Morgan, Justin, and America.
Morgan, Justin, America, and Chrissy.
And Chrissy. Okay, Morgan, Justin, sorry. So four votes to evict in total. All right, and yes. Now how is this vote breakdown going to go?
Well, what it looks like right now is obviously Justin is still against Danielle. Chrissy is obviously going to vote Danielle over Jason. And Morgan is also still set on evicting Danielle. And according to my poll, it's only like an hour in so far. There's only 500 votes. But right now it's looking like Danielle is going to be evicted by America as well, 54% to 46%. So it might be a unanimous vote here.
Because Team Jason is now piled on.
It looks like it. It looks like the Jason fans do, in fact, outnumber the Danielle fans, despite what we may have thought.
Okay. All right. So this is very interesting in terms of this divorce of Danielle from the late night jamboree. Alex, how is Danielle taking it from her side?
Not good.
Yeah.
She's not had a good couple of days. She's not in a good mood. She's been very distant and standoffish and you're very irritated by little things. You can tell that she's being affected by the state of where she is in the game and the knowledge that there's really nothing she can do. I mean, that their mind is made up. She's made her pitch. She did everything she could do. And it wasn't enough. It didn't work. So there's nothing left to be done short of some Dan Gheesling miracle play that she's just not capable of as a player. And so, yeah, I mean, she's having a tough time in there.
Okay, so who is she angry with? Is she angry with Late Night Jamboree or is she angry with Shelby and Morgan?
Justin, Shelby, Morgan. Okay. But she feels like Justin has betrayed her. I mean, because it's very clear that Justin has somehow managed to, you know, get in safe with those girls. And now he seems to be, you know, grilling for them and he doesn't grill food for us. And it's dicey because, you know, Justin, yes, he did save himself, but they went to him because you had a fake offer for them that for no reason last week. It's not like Justin like ran up there and sold you out. I mean, she can't know that, but you know, to be mad because Justin never does anything is kind of silly when you like doing nothing is better than actively going against someone for no reason.
Yeah. Taryn, just to go back 1 week ago to when Whitney switched teams and there was, I felt like a lot of condemnation of the people from the plastics, slash ball smashers about how they treated Whitney after she flipped over. Are there any parallels here between this treatment of Justin?
There's a lot of Late Night Jamboree fans who are very upset with Justin. I have seen statements such as, you know, if I have to vote between Justin and Chrissy in the end, I will vote for Chrissy because I'm that angry with Justin. People are very upset that he has turned his back, even though there's really nothing that he could have done to save her anyway. People are very upset with Justin. And like I said, like Justin's fan base has just been dwindling and dwindling, and it seems to be almost non-existent at this point.
And this is the problem, I think, overall, Rob, is like you were talking about like where the Late Night Jamboree votes go and stuff like that. Anyone who was voting that way from the beginning, I feel like, wasn't thinking this thing through because this is not a team game. It never was. It never will be. If you have one person that you really want to see win and you're trying to engineer that person to the end, fine. But Danielle was always on the bottom of that totem pole. They made it very clear a couple weeks ago that if they were going to turn inward and take out one of their own, it was her. So if you were just like trying to propel the Late Night Jamboree to the end with the hopes that Danielle was going to win this thing, like you really weren't thinking it through too well in my mind.
Okay, so Alex, in this game of Risk that we're playing, so Danielle has a lot of armies out there on the internet in terms of her fan base and her popularity. And there are many people that are Danny fans, Danny stans. They're all out there. Their votes are going to go somewhere from here on out. Where do they go? Does Jason inherit all of them?
Chrissy is maybe not alienating people the way Justin is because she keeps ratting everything to Jason. So she's able to be safe with Shelby and Morgan and then also save face with that side. But it's still Chrissy at the end of the day.
I think that they go to Jason. They've been the Jason fans and the Danielle fans have been aligned this whole game. I think that they're going to switch over to Jason, especially because Jason didn't really have a big part in taking Danielle out. At least he didn't have to show his cards in that way. He didn't have to actually vote her out like he may have if that was an option for him. And so there's really not a situation like Justin where he's explicitly going against her. They've been aligned this whole time and they have a shared hatred of the other side. So it seems pretty clear to me that they are just going to migrate back to Jason, which is why getting Danielle out is major for Jason's chances.
And, you know, Danielle had been picked by many as sort of like the trendy sleeper winner pick, Alex. I mean, how big of a surprise is it to see Danielle go out this week?
You know, now it's not that surprising. I think, you know, a couple of weeks ago, she looked like she was in a really, really strong position, but a couple of things change. And now it's like Jason has kind of usurped that position in many ways. I mean, he looks like a really strong contender now to win. And I think a big part of it is just we didn't foresee how much this Final Five deal would come back to bite her and not Jason, the person who kind of originated the thing. And it's unfortunate, but it speaks to why if somebody has a bad idea in the Big Brother house, you don't go along with it, even if that's your ally, because sometimes you're just as culpable for being a part of someone else's idea as they are for having the idea in the first place. And it was a terrible idea. I mean, I don't want to get into a hyperbole about like worst Big Brother moves of all time, but just objectively awful. No upside. There's no value in just running someone down when they're already like, I mean, I see it as like, if it's a fight, I mean, it's just, it's the, it's, it's taunting. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's
throw
what it
the
is.
Penalty, if, throw the 15-yard penalty.
Well, I mean, if you want to taunt, fine. There's no rules against it in this game. But if you expect someone not to then use it as bulletin board material in the future, then you're kidding yourself.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, Taryn, I like to look ahead, as always, with this. And now, so if Danielle comes off the board on Wednesday night, as we expect her to, this really opens up some interesting things. One, there is no one else left that is eligible for a care package. So does Justin just win a care package without an America's vote here for the seventh care package?
I believe so. I mean, he will be the only person eligible. So, I mean, maybe, I don't know, maybe they still throw up a vote just because they want people to their to go to their website, but it will be him by default.
I mean, it almost like defeats the purpose of like, this is the season where you can vote on everything. And it's like, well, there's nobody else left you can vote for. So we're automatically giving Justin the care package this week.
Well, I do think if he, and you know, obviously we haven't seen him win anything, but I do think if he were to win head of household, because of the nature of this care package, that it's guaranteed safety, I feel like the head of household might not be eligible for it. And so in that case, it might open up to the field again. They did say that if we get to a point where everyone's in the house has received a care package, everyone will become eligible for a second. So I do wonder about if Justin were to become head of household and already have safety, if they might reopen the field.
Yeah, I feel like when we first talked about this care package, it was 2 weeks of safety, but you're right that it was a automatic trip to the final four, but we'll be at the final five at this point. Yeah. So it was just sort of like a round of immunity. That doesn't really seem that powerful, you know, in hindsight.
Yeah, especially when compared to the most recent care package.
Although,
which was
is
not
that how
only
things work on care packages of Big Brother? That the last one is always kind of a dud?
Maybe.
And it's not even a guaranteed immunity, right? You get to play in a game where you have a chance to advance to the final four.
Yeah,
it better be an easy game.
It's very strange. And especially like what Alex was mentioning, we talked about this last night. And it presents a very strange scenario where if it does open up to everyone else, then, you know, theoretically, then it goes to Jason. And then there are two people safe from eviction. Two people are nominated. If the fifth person wins the veto and wants to take somebody off, what happens then? There's nobody left to be put up on the block. Would they just cast the single vote to evict? Is that what would happen? Like a final four? Or, you know, it's a weird scenario.
You broke Big Brother, OTT. That's it. That's it. Yeah. So I would like to know what the reaction will be when Justin gets the seventh and most powerful care package and then reads the note that says that he has to now win a game to go ahead and advance to the final four.
Say what?
Yeah.
Especially, come on, y'all.
Yeah. Especially if it's similar to the, like the Big Brother Canada style game where you have to like do like, it's some sort of puzzle or something. And he's just like, oh no.
I don't care.
Oh no.
Yeah,
man, it's too elaborate. You dig?
Yeah. All right. So let's just, and then hypothetically Justin wins the care package. And then just for the sake of argument, he is able to advance to the round of four. So obviously also we have now that Shelby can't be HOH in back-to-back weeks. Really, all the pressure is on Morgan. If Morgan does not become the HOH this week, almost certainly Morgan or Shelby goes home this week, Taryn?
Yeah, there's basically no scenario where one of them stays. We went, again, like we talked about this a little bit last night, but like basically the only scenario where either of them even has a remote chance is if, say, Chrissy won HOH, put the two of them on the block, one of them took themselves down and she had to put Jason up, and then Justin decided to turn on Jason, which seems very unlikely. He has talked about not trusting Jason, but it just seems like a very unlikely turn of events.
Yeah. Does not seem like that's looking too good for the Ball Smashers to both advance in the game. So probably one of them ultimately goes out here. Do we know a lot of the details about how this end game is going to work? So are we having a regular week of Big Brother leading up into the Thanksgiving holiday, Alex?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, just to the extent that, I mean, the care package is in play. But other than that, I think it's pretty much normal business as usual.
So tomorrow,
one point I will add is that, you know, the saving grace that Morgan and Shelby may have is that going into the next competition, it is Morgan versus the field. But the field may just be Chrissy, Justin, and Jason. So it may be a beatable field.
Okay. So tomorrow we're going to have our eviction where Danielle presumably is going to go home. Then 1 week from tomorrow on the 23rd, we will get down to five. And then somehow we have to accelerate things to get rid of two people between the 23rd and the 30th, Taryn. Do we have any details in how that's all going to work?
Not that I'm aware of, but I assume they'll just speed up the weeks, you know, sort of like they would in a normal season of Big Brother where, you know, they'll evict somebody and then they'll do the final HOH, whatever that is. I assume they'll do a similar like 3-part final HOH. And then, yeah, I mean, it's weird because we've never seen a final three on Big Brother before. So it's hard to picture what that will look like.
Surprise, not so live eviction.
Yeah. And now, Alex, the finale is going to be on December 1st, correct?
Yeah.
Now, that's a Thursday, which is unusual because there has not been an event on a Thursday for OTT. Are we presuming that there'll be some sort of regular live eviction or eviction show on Wednesday, the 30th? And then we'll have like some sort of like window of 20 hours of voting for the winner.
I'm not going to presume anything.
Okay, so there's a lot that we still don't know.
It does make sense.
It makes sense to me. Yeah.
There's a lot that we still don't know in terms of working this all out. Okay, so Taryn, how good of a position is Jason in to rebound from all of this?
He's in a great spot. You know, again, like Morgan HOH is his only real danger, which is not super unlikely. As Alex mentioned, she has basically a 1-in-4 shot at winning. And, you know, Jason, Justin, and Chrissy don't have the best track record in the world. Then again, neither does Morgan, but it's not like it's a given that he's going to survive that next week. Especially because Justin's been saying that he's going to throw the competition, which lowers his odds. So then, but if he does get through that week, I think he's basically golden, especially like, you know, I think that Jason should be most concerned about getting Morgan out next week. His eyes are currently on Shelby because he sees her as a bigger threat, which is completely true. But I think he needs to worry about Justin in particular, thinking I need to cut Jason right before the end, especially if it's going to be taking Morgan over Jason as opposed to Shelby over Jason. So I think that's what he may need to be worried about. But really, I think he by far has the best odds of getting there. There are a couple minor speed bumps that could trip him up, but he does have the easiest path.
Yeah. Alex, why has Justin been so gung-ho in terms of, you know, flipping sides from the late night jamboree to working with them? I mean, it doesn't seem like he needed to do anything with, once Shelby's nominations came out, I mean, it didn't seem like he would need to go through at all with working with them. It seems like that he has really changed his tune in terms of dealing with Shelby, who he hated earlier this season, and Morgan.
Well, it's complicated. I guess, you know, to start out with this week, I feel like he thought for sure he was going to be their target. He was like resigned to the fact that he had to win veto or go home without ever even talking to them. Just because like there really wasn't lines of communication there between him and them and Chrissy and them. Jason had kind of been like the broker the whole time for his group and those girls. So Justin was just, you know, confident that, you know, he didn't like those girls and they didn't like them and that was going to be it. And when they finally, you know, asked to talk to him and broke down those walls, and he realized that he had a chance to save himself if all he did was just kind of like agree to something that was in his best interest anyway, then I mean, yeah, it kind of the skies parted a little bit, and you know, he saw the light of day to a degree about what was good for him in this game and realized that, you know, I mean, they're right when they say that, you know, Jason and Danielle have talked about selling him out, have thought about selling him out. I mean, Danielle put him and Whitney on the block and considered taking him out instead of Whitney. I mean, these are all true statements. So for him to not even think about himself at this point of the game would be silly. And I'm glad to see that he actually is, because we had wondered at a point if this was a guy who even really cared to win the game. I think at this point, it's pretty safe to say he does.
Yeah, I think that a lot of credit needs to go to Shelby, mostly Shelby and also Morgan, for really talking to Justin and saying, hey, look, Jason sold you out. Danielle sold you out. You know, Jason was talking. He wanted you out this week. Last week during the double eviction, Chrissy is the one that saved you. You know, they were going to get you out. And then Chrissy spoke up for you, which is not really what happened. Chrissy was just like, tell me who to vote out. I don't care. But Jason believes it, or Justin believes it. He really thinks that Chrissy is the one that saved him during the double eviction, and that Daniel and Jason were going to get him out, and that it was followed through with this week when Jason threw him under the bus. And so he's completely lost trust in Jason for the most part. So it's really been a credit to the girls' game to get Justin on board with this.
If Justin was to flip sides to Morgan and Shelby at the final five and ultimately end up in the final three with the Ball Smashers, does he have a chance to win any more, Taryn? Or do you feel like that the late night jamboree, would they just abstain from the final vote, or would they give it to Morgan or Shelby?
I think they would certainly vote. Like that fan base still wants a say in what happens. The question is, do they feel so bitter about what Justin did that they don't vote for him and they vote for the enemies? Or, I mean, it's hard to say because they also have so much hatred for Shelby and Morgan. I mean, even now, there's still stuff going around.
Yeah,
it really is. And I really think that there's a chance that that's Justin's best case scenario, essentially, because I don't think he stands any chance of winning against Jason. So like, maybe if it's Justin, Chrissy, Morgan, or even Justin, Shelby, Morgan, the other side may split their votes a little bit. And if he gets all or most of the late night jamboree votes, that's a win.
Now, let me ask you the other way. So hypothetically, let's say now that Morgan and Shelby are the next two people to go out after Danielle. And then Justin ends up in the final three with Jason and with Chrissy. That has he done enough to appeal to the Ball Smashers fan base where he becomes their guy in the final three and at least gives Jason a run for his money?
I think that's a smart analysis. I think that they absolutely will, I think, because Justin has been the one person who has genuinely been talking with both sides throughout the entire game. He is the one that has given them hope in the end game. And I think that especially because there's going to be a lot of venom toward Jason for essentially coming into this game. A lot of people, the second Jason joined, were like, give this to Jason right now. And I think there's going to be a lot of sentiment that way. Justin is going to be the only other viable candidate. So he's going to pick up the plastics fans. He's going to pick up the people who are disillusioned with the entire game. And it definitely could give Jason a run for his money.
It'd be interesting. But is there enough there, Alex?
Yeah. I mean, you know, again, situationally, if you're talking about him versus Chrissy and Morgan, sure.
No, him versus Chrissy and Jason.
It's tough.
He gets steamrolled.
I think it's pretty tough to see him beating Jason. I think it's pretty clear at this point that Jason has an overwhelming fan base. And, you know, even people who haven't been voting on this season at all, I feel like there's going to be if Jason's in the finale, there's going to be past Big Brother contestants just, you know, sending out tweets to all their followers, like click this link and go vote for my homie Jason to win this game.
Yeah.
I feel like he's going to get a huge boost.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think you're right in that we're probably going to see much greater volume in voting for the finale, but it could also go the other way where a lot of people who just tuned out of the season at the start but kept their CBS All Access going are going to be like, oh, Jason's in the end. Well, screw that. Like, give it to somebody else because we like this is exactly what we thought was going to happen. And it's why we tuned out in the first place. I think that the people invested in these past house guests who are invested in Jason are all of the people that are still watching because they've been enjoying watching Jason play. So I think there's a chance that maybe this greater number of voters coming in at the finale will actually break away from Jason.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it goes. I mean, I don't think that the never Jason people will be able to organize enough to any sort of degree to knock out all of the Jason supporters, especially if they pick up the Danielle supporters along the way. I mean, these things do shift, but if there's not a viable Ball Smasher in the end, I think that really what would be exciting would be if you could get some combination of Jason and or Shelby and Morgan in the end. And then we would really see Taryn in that instance. Would it be best for Shelby or Morgan to not have the other one with them? Would like, it was the ideal setup there. Shelby, Jason and Chrissy.
Yeah, I think so. I think that even though I don't think Morgan would siphon that many votes away from Shelby, the fact that she would siphon some votes, and especially because, you know, Alex is going to be outside campaigning for Morgan, I imagine. You know, who's Scott campaigning for? Maybe he's also campaigning for Morgan. It's going to be splitting the votes, and that's you know, that's the worst case scenario.
So really, is the best case scenario for Shelby some version of, you know, if Jason is there, have Jason and Justin, Alex, where at least then he, Justin could siphon the votes away from Jason?
I don't think that's the best case scenario. I think, you know, she still probably would want to get there with Chrissy.
If she had to be there with Jason, though, that you'd want the person who was going to take the most votes away from Jason.
Yeah, probably. I mean, that's probably the best you could hope for in that spot, because, yeah, I think, you know, if you're there with Jason and Morgan, you're certainly going to lose. So,
yeah,
it's interesting. Chrissy's not making enough of a dent.
Yeah. Yeah. She does not pulling too many votes away. The silent Chrissy support, I don't think, will really play a factor there in the final three. So I think that would be
real. All her support this season is indirect Jason support.
Yeah. Taryn, I think that would be really exciting, though, if we got to the end where Jason versus Shelby and then some third party candidate. I think that would be probably the most exciting, the way that this vote could go.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think Jason takes it pretty easily, but it's at least like there's some sort of tension, right? Like, you know, we'll get more people's hopes up and then they'll be disappointed again.
See, I think it'd be interesting, though, because I think you'd have the pro Jason people and then you'd have the pro ball smashers. And then also whoever was the never Jason people also additionally with the Shelby crowd. And so I think that would at least be, you know, a fair fight. He'd get a run for his money. He'd earn that 250K.
Yeah.
No, no.
I think we've consistently seen Jason fans beat out the Plastics fans throughout the entire season. So it's hard for me to imagine anything other than that happening.
Okay. We'll see. I mean, we'll see how it ultimately plays out. Let's get to some of these questions because we got a lot of good ones. Let me take one from Allie Ludlow, who on Twitter asked the question, Rob, I know hindsight is 2020. Do you think that Danielle should have voted out Justin last week? Would she have been okay if she had? So going back to the double eviction, that there was that conversation she had with Morgan and Shelby talking about, what are you going to do? They said, okay, let's vote out Justin. And then she went back and talked it through with Jason and decided, okay, no, we should get rid of Whitney. Taryn, do you feel like that if she decided to go through with that plan and get rid of the person who ultimately did defect this week, whether or not it played a huge role, but it did at least keep him off the block, would she have been better off this week?
Would she have been better off? Probably not entirely. I mean, it would have helped that she would have actually stuck to her deal. I think that was a big selling point as far as targeting her for the girls. But I do think that Whitney would have also targeted Danielle. She said so in some of her exit interviews that she wasn't still, I mean, even though she had flipped, she still wasn't a big fan of Danielle. So she probably would have been in a similar spot anyway. I mean, the real ultimate, I think the real failings of Danielle's game were targeting Alex over Morgan and making that fake final five. Those are the things that could really change the course of history. But the Justin over Whitney thing, it could have made a small difference, but I think she'd still be going home this week.
Okay.
Yeah, I think more than even the Justin and the Justin Whitney thing, it's the fact that she said one thing and did another again in that instance. If you're good to your word to those girls in that instance, at least you have some ground you can start from in a conversation this week where you can say, look, I held up my end of the bargain that week. That was like the only opportunity I had to prove to you guys that I'm good to my word. And if you, without that, and with only the final five deal to look at, I mean, it's pretty tough to want to accept anything she's saying at face value, yeah, especially when she's not offering anything beyond protect me and Jason.
Yeah. To illustrate just how bad of a spot she put herself in, like this should be an easy sell to Shelby and Morgan. For Danielle, all she needs to do is to say, look, they turned their back on me. I'm willing to flip to you guys because I'm clearly on the bottom of their totem pole. Even if I manage to get both of you out, I'm still getting cut before the end. I need to work with you guys because it's true. And they need her because the other three are going to stick together. And it's such an easy selling point, but they can't believe anything she says because she's burned them so many times. All you need to do is not go out of your way to do that. And they may actually believe you when you come to them. But Danielle has both ruined her word with them and not even come up to them offering that kind of deal. So it's, I mean, she's sitting there. There's so many options she has or could have had. And she's just going to, she's going to go home because she doesn't entertain them and because she burned those bridges long ago.
Okay. She was the woman that cried wolf this season. Now the wolf is here. Nobody's believing her.
Exactly.
She played team sports too long, as Jason likes to call it. Team sports. This is not team sports. It never was. It never will be.
All right. Let's go back to, actually, I just want to touch on that. I was cracking up the other day when you guys had Johnny Mack on the podcast and you were checking in with the Joker's update rankings in terms of this season, where Joker's updates, who has not really had their finger on the pulse in terms of how these votes are going to go. Shelby one, Morgan two, and then Alex, Scott, Monty, and Cornbread, who you, I believe Alex, you did correctly point out, didn't they get voted out for being racist?
They've been martyred, Rob.
Yes.
You wait long enough and you let us develop hatred for others and people just forget about all the things they hated about.
Yeah, I think that's somewhere along the way that Monty and Cornbread got pardoned and now they've been issued a reprieve from Joker's update.
They represent Shane, who just keeps at it on Twitter.
They represent the freedom of Big Brother OTT. Like if they had stayed, America could not have blown this game away in the way that they did. So they represent everything that is free from America's influence.
Yeah. Boy, I'm waiting for Cornbread to come out of the woodwork. Sixth most popular house guest of BBOTT. We did it.
Man, who would have thought the guy that gets voted out by America first?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. His legend has only grown. Huge. It's huge. Okay. Fat Tyson Apostle has a question and wants to know, will the house guest who evicts Chrissy at the final four be a hero and ultimately be the winner of RHAP? I mean, we talked about so much in the beginning of this season of, oh my God, I hate Chrissy. She's the worst. I can't stand her. I mean, she really has been under the radar these last few weeks. Am I missing it, Taryn? Because I'm not watching as much live feeds as you are.
You're missing it because everybody that has been watching live feeds, they've become desensitized to it. Like, I mean, I complained a lot about Chrissy. I was making jokes left and right about Chrissy earlier in the season, but they're not funny anymore because they're the same jokes over and over.
Right.
Because she does the same annoying things over and over. So it's just like, she's just there. We know that she's there. She's still annoying. It's just Chrissy.
You're the frog in the pot of hot water that just got hot and hot and hot until it boiled. If I just started watching as much live feeds as you did, I'd be like the frog that you throw into the boiling water. I'd jump right out.
Yeah. You got it.
Good. You like that analogy, Kidwell?
It's a good one.
Good one. Okay. All right. But America's not going to really be like, if somebody really screws over Chrissy at Final Four, Alex, then are people going to be like, yes, you're my hero now, even though I didn't like you this season?
I don't think at this point it's going to make that much of a difference. People are just, resigned to, Chrissy's presence. And I don't think that that's going to, shift people dramatically one way or another. People are pretty, set, I think, at this point in who they like and who they want to see get to the end of this game and win. And Chrissy's just not going to play a huge factor one way or another, ultimately, I don't think.
Yeah.
Fortunately for her. But good luck convincing her of that.
Okay.
Based on how we've sent the message, she has to think she's beloved.
Okay. Kujawak wants to ask, assuming America votes for Danny, could Morgan get away with putting a hinky vote on Jason and claiming it was from America? Taryn, any wisdom here?
My wisdom would be don't do that.
It's bad.
It benefits it's Jason bad. Immensely and really hurts your own case. So what Morgan wants is for it to be unanimous against Danielle so that she can make the case that Jason is way too liked to take to the end.
Okay.
It was one thing in the early game where Alex did it and it could be a selling point. It's like, see, America is on this side. Like, I think there's something there. At this point in the game, all you're doing by trying to do that move is creating a smokescreen for somebody that they now have an argument that they're disliked when that's not even true. I mean, that would be Jason's dream scenario. They take out Danielle for him, who's his biggest competition, and then they help shield him from the dangers that face him the rest of the way. I mean, it's just paving a golden path at that point.
Okay. Edmo wants to know, is there any advantage to Morgan keeping the sister twist a secret to anybody else? Taryn, can you see an out here for her at all? Perhaps if she ends up on the block this week or if she's on the block with Shelby?
Well, this is a good question because something that we've overlooked to mention so far, we've neglected to mention, is that Morgan has told her sister secret to Chrissy. And I think the reason that we've overlooked it is because it was completely just like a really boring and dull moment because Chrissy had zero reaction whatsoever because Chrissy even gets twist reveals. She even messes those up. She can't even get that right. She can't even be like, oh, what? She just like, mm-hmm. Yep.
That's it?
Sure. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it. Like literally nothing. Like, oh, that's... Wow, that's a big deal. Like, yeah, it is, Chrissy. They're sisters. Come on, give us something. But anyway, Morgan told her this to try to gain trust with Chrissy. She's trying to reel her in. Obviously, it didn't work. Chrissy couldn't care less. And, you know, it's just like, I think it was a mistake for Morgan. I think that Chrissy is going to tell Jason. She's going to tell Justin. And it's going to ruin some of the trust with Justin because she told Chrissy and not him. So I really don't like this move.
Okay.
Yeah, Chrissy's been running everything back to Jason. So,
all right. Well, speaking of being the rat, this is from Chatwing in the chat room wants to say, can we give Jason more credit? At least he doesn't play the rat game, putting himself at the bottom of an alliance because he would not be the target if the other side won because they're at the bottom like Steve, Nicole, and Andy. I prefer someone who is going to play and say, this is my side. I'm going to war over the rat game. I mean, that I feel like that pretty much universally, I think that all of you guys and myself included have said that Jason has played the best game this season. Is that fair or unfair, that charge?
I mean, I think it's fair, but I don't think it can be called what this. I mean, I think that it's the best game because he was playing the rat game.
Yeah, he has been playing that. He's like the only person going back and forth that's left in the house.
Mm-hmm. Like Jason was the one every single week that was going to the other side and making deals. You know, Justin was doing it to some extent with the social game, but Jason is the one that was doing it like, hey, let me tell you about this. And like, let's make a deal. I want to keep me safe when you do this. Like, I mean, it's the epitome of a rat game and good for him for doing it. But I mean, he did not declare sides. Like, I mean, Danielle and Chrissy are the side declarers.
Mm-hmm. He's literally looked at the cameras and said, I'm the Nicole this season. Yeah. That's happened. So he is himself aware of his own role as the rat, snake, whatever animal metaphor you want to dredge up. He knows, like, that's the game he's playing. And, you know, maybe you don't like it, but Steve, Nicole, Andy, they do have something in common, and that's $500,000. So I'll take that. I'll go with that side.
But do you feel like that, just to defend the charge that we've been hard on Jason's game? I mean, I know that we have been pointing out some mistakes, Alex, especially on the final four deal with Danielle to Shelby and Morgan. But I feel like that overall, have we not given him the most credit this season?
Yeah, and I do think that he has played. Perhaps I think Shelby also has a stake in that. I think that Shelby has played a really good game, and I've been saying that for a while now. And I think that Shelby may have played the best game. It's unclear at this point, but Jason certainly, I've been saying all along, has been playing one of the best games, if not the best game. But unfortunately there's not a lot of game to be played. And so the best game is one that is also extremely flawed.
Okay.
Right. And you have to give him credit because just look at how loyal these people have been to him. And Chrissy, at her own detriment, is trying to keep him around to the end. And so is, you know, Justin to some degree. And obviously Danielle is, and like, these people would all lose or probably lose to Jason. So the fact that he's got them wanting to protect him so much. Yeah. I mean, you have to acknowledge that he's done a good job.
Ryan in the chat wants to know, in the next BBOTT, assuming there is one, should they just stop with the veterans of the game and give us a completely new cast? Taryn, do you have any feelings on this in terms of an OTT2? Should it be all new players, or do you like the idea of potentially bringing back people that maybe wouldn't have gotten the call for a traditional All-Stars?
I mean, it seems pretty clear to me that if they have this kind of voting where the voting is so powerful that they can't have people with built-in fan bases, and they can't have people who have former house guests on the outside campaigning for them. They are the most powerful people in the Big Brother community, and they are driving a lot of these votes. And so it's just like, it doesn't work that way. I think that they should decrease the amount of power America has anyway. And in that case, maybe it would be a fun place to bring back some of these people that may not have otherwise been on any other Big Brother season. I like that idea. I think there are a lot of people that would qualify for that spot. But in the current iteration of the game, I think it's just too powerful to have that fan base.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, BBOTT is a lot more similar to BBUK. And at BBUK, I mean, there's a reason they have two different formats that they alternate throughout the course of, you know, the year. They've got their regular version with all new people you haven't heard of, and they've got their celebrity version, which is all people with some kind of existing fan base. So I think that's how it has to be done. Either you bring in all new people and let them all start, you know, at zero and build up that way. Or if you want to have some returning players, fine, but like make it a celebrity edition, have some returning players, have somebody's brother, have like make that one the one where people with existing fan bases, former players, social media moguls, they can do their thing on that one.
Okay. Kirsten has a question, wants to know, do you think that we're more likely to get players from BB proper on future iterations of OTT or players from OTT getting a chance to play on Big Brother proper? Alex?
I would say probably the first thing. I mean, OTT seems like a little bit like the Bush League to a Big Brother's NASCAR. And you usually see more Bush League than NASCAR. So I think the step down is always easier than the step up.
Yeah. Taryn, do you feel like that if Jason hypothetically wins this, has he graduated to the point where if they cast a Big Brother All-Star season where he would then be in the mix for some sort of Big Brother 20, like heroes versus villains type season?
That's an interesting question. You know, probably just because he has this sort of this story behind him now. I think that, you know, I always considered him to be somebody that had a chance regardless. But, you know, I feel like production might not be super happy with the way that he's treated them this season. And so maybe they're not super anxious to bring him back. But I think especially if he wins, there's a big story there, right? Where he goes out early the first time, he comes back, he wins. And he wins a popular vote. And that's a huge thing, too, because if they know that he's popular,
not that
then they're going to be like, well, they'll want to bring him back because, you know, he won a fan. It's essentially, it would be like a preliminary second chances vote.
Yeah. It's interesting. It would be fun to see how that would ultimately play out if he could win BBOTT and then would be back in a regular season. Because, Alex, it would be a good way to get the OTT fans to watch regular Big Brother.
Yeah, because they're not doing that at all. There's no way. 100% of those people are already doing that.
You don't know that. Maybe somebody's just watching. Maybe somebody just is a cord cutter and they just watch CBS All Access.
Yeah. They're still watching live feeds on the exact same URL, Rob, in the summer.
Okay. This is from Casey wants to know, will all the production mishaps last week have any effect on the future of BBOTT?
I don't think so. I mean, there's always production mishaps. There have been way worse production mishaps throughout the history of Big Brother than on this season. So no, I don't think so.
Yes.
Yeah. We just don't always see like every bit of it along the way. Usually they cut to fish a lot sooner.
Yeah.
And this time they at least let us see a little bit behind the scenes and they're paying for it because now people are complaining that it's rigged.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Like I want to say that like the people that are making a huge fuss about this stuff that is completely like fine and normal, they are basically arguing a case for no. Don't let people see more. They're arguing for a case for Jeff Fish in the next Big Brother season. Like they're essentially saying, no, we can't handle all of this access. You need to restrict us. Please do so in the future, Big Brother.
Keep that curtain up, CBS. There are some things we can't bear to know.
It's a good point. Alex, which Big Brother OTT member is most likely to participate in a future season of Sequester?
Oh. I'm going to say Alex.
Alex Willett?
Yeah.
Alex Willett. She's the gamer. She feels like, you know, the kind of get that Audrey would go after. And rightly so. I feel like she's someone who would actually, take it seriously and, really try to think about it and play it hard. You know, she seems like someone who wants to win everything she does. So it seems like a sound choice.
Okay. Taryn, do you agree?
I mean, just going off of recent history, the recent, quality of people that have been asked to compete on Sequester, maybe it's more along the lines of like Shane.
Shane. Whoa. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to go with Scott.
The Virgin King make an appearance on Sequester. Oh. I can see it.
And I only bring this up because of the recent news that Tiffany's sister, Vanessa's sister Tiffany, is going to be on the All-Star season of Sequester.
Oh!
My question is, which one of the live feed correspondents will be the first to participate in Sequester?
Oh!
I think we determined it was Brent.
It probably is Brent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably. All right. Anything else you guys want to say before we head into our final six elimination? Let me ask you this one last thing. So in terms of the pecking order of Jason, Justin, Chrissy, in Jason's mind, who is his number two, Taryn?
Chrissy, for sure.
Okay. And is there any sort of risk, Alex, that Justin will figure this out and then be more likely to flip? Or he?
I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, see, that's the problem, right? Is once they get Danny out, then he likes Jason more than those girls. And at that point, Jason represents a final three. All those girls can offer is a final four. It'll be just way too easy, and again, whoever wins head of household is going to determine everything pretty much, but it'd just be way too easy for him to flip back. And obviously, if Jason wins power, then it's the only move.
And Taryn, how much are the Ball Smashers actively making the case to Justin? Like, we can't beat Jason. He was on a Big Brother season that was on television.
Well, at the moment, they're more making the case to Chrissy, but they're definitely also working on Justin. I think they think that they have a better shot with Chrissy, and especially because they also want to get to the end with Chrissy. I mean, we have to remember that they do not see how the Justin fan base dwindling like we do. They see the pizza video still. They see pizza. The fact that he has...
Pizza, baby. Yeah.
And also that he's protected Chrissy throughout the game. Chrissy, who America has never nominated. Chrissy, who America only made a have not once. Chrissy, who they all believe America likes. Justin, protected her once with the veto and stuff like that. So, yeah, easy to see why they wouldn't think that.
Yeah. This is a funny clip from the Monday night daily recap in terms of the deal with Chrissy. This is what the voiceover man said.
Shelby then offered the Surly Server the Final Four special.
The Surly Server?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know about that Final Four special either.
Alex.
Sounds ominous.
Are we going to have the comic book competition here at the end? Is that going to be the final veto this season with the Surly Server making an appearance? And the Virgin King?
Don't they have to actually employ DC comic licensed artists for this?
Maybe.
Seems like a budget issue.
Could be a budget issue. Okay. Yeah.
But they're seriously missing out if we don't get a Virgin King poster. Like, that's just atrocious.
Yeah.
Have him being held up by Rafiki. Virgin King!
On your way. Yeah. Oh, fun stuff. Fun stuff. All right. Well, interesting to see how this is all going to play out. We'll know a lot when we get our new HOH. And Alex, you will be part of that conversation on Wednesday night, correct?
Woohoo! Yeah, me, Jordan, and a freshly back from Miami, Brent Wolgamott.
Okay, so it'll be Alex, Brent, and Jordan on your happy hour live on Wednesday night following the HOH excitement as we head into the final five. And we're about 2 weeks away here from the finale of BBOTT. Can't believe it. I mean, it's really been we've been on such a marathon run from mid-June and then through all of, 99 days of BB18. and then what, a week off, and then we went right into OTT, and then finally on December 2nd the LFC will rest.
There's no rest for the wicked, Rob.
There's no rest.
And there's also no rest for the robot. So
speak for yourself. Yeah, I'm gonna hibernate like a bear. You guys will see me in March. Just emerge from my cave.
Is it March or February for Big Brother Canada? I think they moved it up this year.
Oh dear. Well,
we'll see.
I'm gonna have to make that deep slumber count.
All right. Well, lots of fun stuff. Can we go with the surly surfer, the surly server for the hashtag?
Yeah.
Okay.
I like the surly surfer too.
She's a surly server.
Is that Shane?
Shelby then offered the surly server the final four special.
The final four special. How do you like that, Chrissy?
If it were appropriate, I would kiss every single one of you.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. I will not have what she's having.
I will. Thank you. All right, cool. Good stuff. Lots of fun. I will be back on Friday for more BBOTT talk with the guys. And then, of course, we will have the continuation, round three of the So You Think You Can podcast. I think also that I think I may be popping on with Jordan to at least deliver the results of Team Taryn on Wednesday night. Well, let me coordinate how we're going to do that. And then so we will be able to name our final three a little bit sooner in the process. So lots of good stuff. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre for posting the podcast version of this. Anything else, guys? No.
Yep.
Follow Alex Kidwell on Twitter. Follow Armstrong Taryn on Twitter. And then, of course, we've got plenty of Survivor fun coming up. We have our Survivor Know-It-All. Sophie Clark is filling in for Stephen Fishback on the Know-It-Alls on Wednesday night. And then we have Spencer Bledsoe doing the recap with me on Thursday. We'll get to your Survivor voicemails with Megan Z. A very funny, longtime listener of the podcast. You'll be joining me to talk about all the voicemails. And then, of course, continuing coverage of the OTT. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.